here, and so she is going to have she needs prayer also. And so let's lift these folks in our prayer. You know, always good to see Keith, Brother Keith. Thank you for being here. The weather is great, so you don't yet need to go down south, you know. So this is amazing. I promise in December it'll be like this, you know. So just stay with us, you know. Oh, I'm just kidding. Always good to see Keith and the folks. But let's pray. Give God thanks and bow our heads. And anybody who wants to be, who wants to come to the altar is always open. We come to the altar to praise God and give thanks to Him and pour our praises to Him. And we also want to bring our needs before Him. So either way, just you know, at any point in time, just utilize this altar and come before the Lord as God leads you. But let's bow our heads today and give thanks to God and spend this time in prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you, O God, this morning. We are so grateful to you for who you are. And O God, that as we live our life, we cannot imagine our life without you, O Father God. We just want to come before you in the reverence and with fear of the Lord. And it is not that we talk about the fear in the sense that we are afraid of you. But O Father, we come in a fear of reverence and a respect to you, O God, the creator of this universe who knows everything. And you reached out to us and want to have a relationship with us, O Father God. It is an amazing thing. And O God, we just want to say thank you to you, O Father God, for that. We praise you and we give you thanks, O God, for all the great things that you have done. And O Father, today we come before you and want to really ask you, O Father, that you will take hold of our lives today, and you will speak to our heart and our mind as we take this journey today from this Sunday onwards next few weeks, O God, as we reflect upon our life and what it is all about, and as we live in this world, what it is all about, and how we should really think about our life, O Father God, because there is life beyond this life on this earth, O Father God, and we want to just reflect on those facts and those truths, O Father, that you have taught us. So prepare our heart, open our heart, O God, and help us to process the thoughts, and that we will understand not only with our mind but in our heart, O Father God. And so we just want to commit this time into your hand as we reflect upon your word this morning, O Father. Father, we pray specifically, and we want to give you praises and thanks, O God, for Alan family and for Brad, and thank you, God, for as we prayed to you during his procedure, O Father God, that we know your hand was upon him, upon his family, O God, and we are so grateful, O God, that they are he is here today, the family is here today, worshiping you, and O Father, we continue to ask for your hand of protection upon Brad and upon Krista and the kids, O God, and continue to lift them up, O Father. Continue to bring healing to Brad, O Father God, and restore the complete health in his body, O Father. This is our prayer for Brad this morning, and as we continue to pray for him. Thank you, God, for the work that you have done in his life and in the family's life, and keep watching and keep blessing them, O God. Pour your abundance of blessings upon their life, O Father. This is our prayer for them this morning, O God. Thank you, God, for Barb, and thank you, God, for being with her as well in her emergency surgery and taking her through that process. And, O Father, just continue to to touch her in a very special way. We ask for healing touch upon her body, and also, God, restore her health, O Father, completely. This is our prayer for her as well, O God. Put your hand of protection and blessings upon her as well. Thank you, God, for the others who are crying out to you and placing their needs before you, O Father, that you will speak to their hearts and minds, O God. We want to lift Kat into your hand, O Father, as she is she needs a touch from you, O Father, for her health. That just watch over her, O Father. Be with Patty as she is preparing to go for her surgery, O God. That be with her and watch over her through the procedure and restore her health as well, O Father. We always want to lift up Keith, O Father God, into your hand. Continue to touch him. Give him the strength that he needs, O God. Touch his body, O Father. Put your hand of protection upon his life as well. And, O Father, just bring and restore the health in his body as well, O Father God. Just want to lift him up into your hand, O Father. Thank you, Jesus, for this time that you have given to us to praise you, bring needs before you, O God. And, O God, as your verse says to us and the word of God says, and these are your words, that for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. And this is your promise for us, O God. So if our soul is shaken up, we are not sure about certain things in our life, help us to rest in your promise that you are with us. You hold our right hand, and you are always with us, O Father. Thank you, Jesus, for that promise. We praise you, O God, and we give you thanks. Father, we want to give thanks to you for your provision in our life. And, O God, that you have given us to eat, you have given us the place to stay, you have given us family. And, O Father, people who struggle, O God, who do not have these things, we lift them up to you today, O God, as well. But, O Father, we want to take this time and give you thanks. And, O Father, we want to worship you, give you thanks from the giving of our tithes and offering to you, O Father. Receive it for your glory. And, O God, make these tithes and offering acceptable to you as we give through the joyful heart and with the heart of reverence and thanksgiving to you. Receive this and use it for your glory. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord, our God, through the giving of tithes and offering. There is a basket there, and I don't know, the plates are not here, so please put it in the basket today. I think all our ushers are not here today. So sorry about that. Just put your offering in the basket today. And let's do this with thanksgiving and a joy. Let's clap and give thanks to God as we do this.
Thank you.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. No, don't clap. It's not about me. I need to talk to Matthew. So, you know, we're starting a sermon series, and when I was pastoring in Winnipeg and down south, it's September 1st week. It's kind of a kickoff Sunday for the church. But in Alaska, everything is different, right? September 1st week is just kind of a hunting season. And so our kickoff really goes till October, really, you know, in a real sense. But no, this is great. We're going to start a new sermon series called Eternity. And we're going to spend a few weeks in this, really trying to understand what eternity is and what the Bible really talks about eternity. And this is very important because it is in the context of our life. So many times we have been told that, hey, as a people of God, it is not about you, it is about others, it is about loving our neighbors, and of course it is true, it is about, you know, blessing others and all those things, and which is absolutely true. There's nothing wrong. But for a moment, for a few weeks, including starting this week, I want you to really focus on your life, my life. So just be selfish for a moment, for a few weeks, and really focus on your life, what my life is all about. Think about yourself. Just so what I'm telling you, what I'm saying to you, is just be selfish for a little while, you know, as we kind of think through and take the journey through this idea of eternity. And the reason I'm asking you to do that is because it is about our life, and God has given us the life that is a gift of life that each one of us have received, that we have been born in this world and have received a gift of life, and God has brought us and placed us in this world for such a time as this, and God has brought us, given us life that we can breathe and we can live, and we have done so many, you know, great things in our life, and we are taking the journey. And the God is the only one who has an authority to take the life. And so he is the giver of life, and he takes the life, and that is the authority of God, and we find ourselves in the midst of that. And so many times we think that the life is here, and as a human being, we many times kind of process in our mind that we are born and we are dead, and that is what the life is all about. But the eternity, the idea of the eternity is even beyond that. There is a life beyond the death on this earth. And that is very important for us to think. And so I just kind of gave away a lot of, you know, the ideas that we are going to talk about. But as we live our life and this on the face of this earth, each person wants to live our life for life of significance. So nobody is born, and if you talk to children, nobody wants to be a loser in life. Nobody wants to be poor. Nobody wants to, you know, live a life which is unsuccessful. Nobody wants to live a life which is a life of failure. And that is not what we come into this world and dream about, that I have a dream and I want to be a failure. Nobody likes to think that way. We want our life to be counted for something. We want to have a life of significance. And these weeks that we have been, you know, I have been studying a book of John Bevere called Driven by Eternity, and this whole sermon series is based on that. And some of the truths that I have learned just I just prayed, and I thought we should kind of take that journey together for the next few weeks and really learn about that. And it is so important that as we think about our life, a life of significance, we have that aspiration that I want to be successful. As I live my life on the face of this earth, I want to, my life to be counted towards something. I don't want my life to be wasted. I'm going to bend and tie my shoelace, otherwise I'm going to fall. Sorry. Sorry for the break, you know. So we want our life to be counted, life of significance. And sometimes we feel that maybe, you know, it's a very selfish thought. That as a Christian, probably as a people of God, we should not think that way. But I have a news to tell you that it is perfectly okay to have the dream to be successful. It is, in fact, God wants you to be successful in your life. That is not God's desire for you and for all of us to live a life of failure. That is not God's desire for us. In fact, you know, there is a Psalm 90 which is written, and you know, when we think about Psalm, most of the time we think that it is written by David, but there is this Psalm. There are a few Psalms written by other authors too, and this Psalm particularly is written by Moses. And the title of Psalm 90 it says the prayer of Moses. And if you read, it's a prayer of Moses, Psalm 90, but verse 12 and 17, it talks about, you know, what prayer Moses prays to God. And this is what it says, and I have kind of, combined these two verses, verse 12 and 17, and it says, and it's, the outlines are there. Just follow those. All those verses are there, written there. And it says, teach us to make the most of our time. Teach us, O God, to make most of our time and make our efforts successful. And he repeats, yes, God, make our efforts successful. And Moses says, O God, make my efforts successful. And that is the prayer Moses prays. And it is a good prayer to pray to God. God, I don't want to live a life of unsuccessful person. I want my life to be counted. And you know, there is nothing wrong to have that desire. And as I said, God has a desire for our life to live a successful life. You know, Bible tells us about this in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 9. It says, the Lord your God will then make you successful in everything you do. The Lord your God will make you successful in everything you do. That is Deuteronomy 39. So, you know, it's God's desire for us to live. He wants our life to be counted towards something. He wants our life to be successful and not a life of failure. That is his desire. And so, you know, just not for only few things he wants us to be successful, but everything we do, he wants us to be successful. He wants our life to be counted towards, you know, live a legacy in this world, and all those kinds of things that we have at some point or the other thought about our life. And God is with us on that. So Proverbs 19 and verse 8, it says, he who loves wisdom loves his own best interest and will be successful. So as we are thinking about success in life, the word of God in Proverbs 19 and verse 8 says that the person who loves wisdom and shapes their life based on the wisdom will be successful. And when it is talking about the wisdom, is very important. Bible talk about the wisdom, and when it talks about the wisdom, it is not talking about, when we think about wisdom, we think, oh, wisdom has to be connected to intellectual people. And if you ask me, I don't put myself into the intellectual category. And you think that, man, if it wisdom has to be connected to intellectual, wisdom is not for me. That is not what the Word of God says. Wisdom is available to everybody. Everybody. You do not have to score 4.5 GPA in your schooling to have a wisdom. Does that make sense? God's wisdom is available. And when the Word of God talks about the wisdom, it is really talking about godly wisdom. It is not talking about worldly wisdom. There is a difference between that. But that is not the topic of our day today. But when we are saying wisdom, and when the Bible is talking about wisdom, it is talking about the godly wisdom. And the Word of God tells us that if you want your life to be counted towards something, if you want to live a life of success, if you want to, live a life of significance in this world, you need to depend upon the wisdom of God. And the person who depends upon that wisdom and draws wisdom from God, their life will be successful. So it is really talking, the Word of God is really talking about the knowledge and the wisdom that we receive in our life that is from the Word of God and from God Himself. And it is if we depend upon that and if we shape our life, build our life based on that wisdom, our life will be successful. That is the Word of God. That is what it says. And Proverbs 9 and verse 12 says, if you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. And there are lots of scripture, we are going to read, and they're all written in your outline. If you're wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you're a mocker, you alone will suffer. And so the Word of God gives us the direction for our life, and it says, successful life, you want to count your life towards something, the wisdom is important. And the wisdom is the godly wisdom that comes from God. And it says then, if you are, Proverbs 9:12 says, if you're wise, your wisdom will reward you. There will be reward in your life. Because you're a wise person, because you're making the decisions in your life based on a good wisdom, godly wisdom, and your life will be successful. But if you're a mocker, you alone will suffer. If you mock, and if you're a mocker, we'll talk about that later on, and we are going to connect this whole idea of wisdom and what it is all about and about the eternity and all that kind of a thing. So you can draw from God's wisdom, or you can be mocker and say God's wisdom is not really good for me. And you disregard that, and you mock the wisdom of God, and that is going to be a problem in our life. We will never end up in a good place if we do that. That is what the Word of God says. But listen to Proverbs 37 and verse 18. This says, day by day, the Lord observes the good deeds done by godly men and women. God is watching, and He knows what we do. And He observes the good deeds and how we live our life. What are the decisions we make? What are the kind of things we do? Where is our heart? God observes those things day by day, every day. And gives them eternal reward accordingly. And so there is a reward attached to how we live our life in this world. The idea of success is through godly wisdom. And it is talking about eternal success. It is not talking about the temporal success, which is just limited to this world. It is really talking about the eternal success. So we have to take into consideration our life from the birth. And we die on this earth, and there is a life, eternal life, which is eternal life. And the success, God is not really, you know, he is interested in our success of our life on the face of this earth, but there is an eternity. Our soul is going to live for eternity, and God is taking into consideration the whole life of ours. He's just not taking into consideration just life on the earth, which is also part of God's plan. And so, you know, God is really talking about eternal success for our life. You know, friends, how we can, we are looking at our life, how we are looking at our success is important. Many times we are so focused on a success on in this world. And so our success criteria is very different, and it's very temporal, it's very temporary, and it is very materialistic. Nothing wrong in making good money in this world. Nothing wrong in having excellent education. That is not, I'm not talking against that. The Word of God never talks against that. But that is not all there is to in our life. As we take the journey towards that and depend upon the wisdom of God, God gives us the perspective of in our life how we should live our lives. So, you know, the idea is, because we are going to take into consideration, and God takes into consideration our life from the birth, and then death comes on this face of the earth, and there is eternal life. And God is really talking about the entire life of a human being. And so, the part of that is, one day we will all stand before the judge of this universe, Jesus Christ, God the Father, and we'll have to give an account of our life. And as we talk more and more about this, that is the reality. And what I'm talking about is not a fantasy, it's not a made-up story, it is not just something that is kind of in a thin air, but this is the reality. And it may be disturbing to many of us, or some of us, as we speak about this. But it is important for us to reflect upon these truths. At the end of our life on this earth, we will have to go through the judgment before the Lord. And the life which we live on the face of this earth, how we do that, will be judged at the end of our life on this earth. And our eternity depends upon what we have done in this world. If we have made our lives count with godly wisdom, we will have an eternal reward. But if we only focus on a temporary things of this world, we are going to have a problems on the day of judgment. So the question today is this. As we think about it, the question today is this: do you want your life of significance just for today, just for this on this earth, or are you prepared to think about your life of eternity, a life even after death, including your life on the face of this earth? You know, when we talk about this, I don't want you to just kind of think about your life on this earth and just disregard that. Because our life on this earth is extremely important. It is God's plan that He has placed you on the face of this earth for such a time as this. But it is not just limited to that. It is eternal life. And so that's what we want to think about. And that is the question we want to really ask to ourselves, as to how are we thinking about our life? Are we thinking about our eternal life? So it boils down to really, you know, how do we make our life count? It is important for us to understand and learn about eternity. Maybe lately, we have been so focused on our life on this earth because there are so many challenges, there are so many issues that we have to face, there are so many solutions that we need to bring about, and all that, that we have no time to think about our eternity. But I just want to challenge you just take this journey with together for next few weeks, and let's think about ourselves and eternity. And it is important to understand that. So let's try to understand the question, what is eternity? In your outline, that question is there, the first point, what is eternity? Now, when we think about eternity, let's try to understand what is eternity, what the Word of God talks about eternity. Now, the first verse I want you to read there is Job 36:26. It says, no one can begin to understand eternity. So why are we even asking the question then? What is eternity? The Word of God says, no one can begin to understand eternity. And the first part of that verse is that it says that no one can even fully understand who God is. And therefore, nobody can understand. We cannot begin to even understand eternity. So you may say, Pastor, what's the point here of this asking this question? Why are we even talking about eternity if we are not going to understand eternity? You know, so let's think about this for a moment. You know, if we talk about the eternity and try to define eternity, and you can do your extended research, and we don't have time to kind of take account of all 50 definitions of eternity, but just two of them is, in one dictionary it says infinite time. But the other dictionary says the state of existing outside of the time. And so we think about this definition, infinite time, and the state of existence outside of the time is eternity. It is just kind of mind-boggling. What is it? Infinite time, outside the time? You know, it just kind of, how do you define eternity? It's so beyond our understanding of how do we really grasp the idea of eternity. You know, just think with me for a moment about the universe. That's where we live, you know, our world and the universe. And just imagine, I just think about in your mind about the universe, and just imagine that there is a wall that ends the universe. And there is a wall there, and that is the whole universe. But then there is something beyond that wall. There is more space beyond that wall. And then there is more space beyond that wall. And it keeps going on and it keeps going on. And where does this end? And how do you grasp that whole idea of eternity in our mind? You know, how do we kind of put it in a framework, the eternity? We cannot. It is mind-boggling for our mind to think about the eternity. And that's the reason the Word of God says it is beyond our understanding to really understand the eternity. No one can begin to understand eternity. You know, now let's think about God Himself. And when we start asking about God, His existence, who created God, when was God born? And I'm not talking about Jesus coming into this world as a human, that is a Christmas, and God was in existence before that. And who created God? When God came into existence? And we just kind of try to stretch our mind beyond that, and at some point we have to stop. It is beyond our mental capacity to think about that eternal being who God is. And so that's the reason we say God is Alpha and Omega. He has no beginning and He has no end, and He is eternal God. That's why we say He's eternal God. So I hope I have, you know, made you think a little bit that when we ask these questions about God, at some point in our mind, you start to kind of think, oh my goodness, I cannot think beyond this point. So I have to just be and know that God is God and He's eternal God. And we cannot really grasp the complete idea of eternity. And so Psalm 90 and verse 2 says, before the, you know, this is about God, and before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Even the before the creation of this world, before the mountains, before human beings, God is who God is. Even beyond that. And so that's the whole, you know, idea of everlasting eternity of God. You know, and that's the reason Job says, no one can begin to understand eternity in our mind. How do we write the idea of eternity from a mental perspective? It is so difficult. It is so difficult. So I want you to let that idea sink in your mind for a moment. It is so beyond us. Yet, eternity is planted and placed in our heart. I hope you're with me. Don't, you know, keep your focus a little bit. It is a little bit heavy topic, so don't let your mind wander here and there. Just keep up with me for a moment here. You know, eternity is planted and placed in our hearts. You know, the Word of God says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, it says, He has put eternity in their hearts. So it is difficult for us to understand in our mind, but God has placed eternity in our heart. So God has placed eternity in our heart of men and women. Even so, many cannot see the whole scope of God's work and the idea of eternity. The idea of the eternity exists in our heart because God has placed that idea in our heart. So God has placed that, and so we understand the eternity exists, and we know that there is something called eternity in our hearts and not through our minds. And that is what the Word of God says. And Psalm 14:1 says, that is the reason that this verse is in the context. It says, the fool says in his heart that there is no God. Where does the fool says in his heart? Fool does not say in his mind that there is no God. The Word of God says, the fool says in his heart that there is no God. And the reason is because the foolish person, the person who denies the wisdom of God, who denies the existence of God, says in his heart, and he denies what has been placed in a person's heart, that there is no God. And the foolish person really rejects the idea of eternity. And therefore, he or she rejects the idea of existence of God, because there is nothing comparable to eternity other than God himself. And this whole idea of God is placed in every person's heart. That is what the Word of God says. So it exists, the idea of the God exists in our heart. And when we are foolish, we reject the idea of God in our heart. And that is the problem. And that's the reason we become foolish, because the very existence of God in our heart is rejected. Any atheist may reject the idea in their heart, in their mind, that there is no existence of God. But in there, at the end of the day, whatever you say, everyone knows in their heart that there is eternity and there is existence of God. You cannot deny the fact. You may talk and you may argue in front of people and you may win the argument and all that kind of a thing. But when you're alone, when you are, you know, contemplating upon your life, when you're thinking about the death and all those kinds of things, the idea of eternity comes out in your heart. You know why? Because God has placed that eternity, the idea of God, in each person's heart. And that's the reality. You know, there are so many examples who are atheists who have, you know, I mean, it's a will of every person. You can keep rejecting till the time you die, and nobody can do anything. But there are some great examples. You know, C.S. Lewis, we have been studying C.S. Lewis in Sunday school class these days, and C.S. Lewis was an atheist, and he searched for God, and he found the eternal God, which was placed in his heart. Lee Strobel was a journalist and atheist, and he went on a journey and a staunch atheist and tried to prove that God doesn't exist, and he found the true eternal God. And there are so many examples which are there, and the reason that happens is because God has put the eternity and the idea of God in our heart. So Romans chapter 1, verse 19, it talks about this a little bit. And it says this, and we'll read this a little slowly. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put the knowledge in their heart. The truth, the knowledge of God has been put in a human heart instinctively. And it is there. That is our instinct as a human being. That doesn't matter however far from God we are, the idea of God and the idea of eternity is instinctively placed in each human's heart. And so it is important for us to understand that. So friends, without knowing and looking at God, we cannot really understand the eternity. So if we want to understand eternity, we got to understand God himself. Does that make sense? Is it? Are you with me here? Or I hope I'm not getting too complicated, but stay with me for a moment. We're going to talk about if there is an eternal God, if there is an eternity placed in our heart, there is something called eternal judgment. And it is very important. You know, friends, this is the reality in our world today. Many, including people who go to church, who are Christians, non-Christians, whoever, just because you go to church does not mean you live correctly or we live correctly. But in this world, we build our life based on cultural thinking, traditions, assumptions, our feelings about who God is. So many times we have been culturally conditioned. We put lots of feelings into that. We put a lot of assumptions, a lot of traditions in knowing who God is. And we have created the God based on the feelings, traditions, and all these understand cultural thinkings, and we are building our life based on that God who we have created based on that. Rather than building our life based on God according to the Word of God. And the Word of God is the Bible. And we are going far off from building our life based on traditions and based on feelings rather than the God of Word of God. You know, this applies to everybody. This applies to all the Christians, non-Christians, believers, no-believers, everyone in the face of this earth that we have created maybe. We have been coming to church for our entire life and we don't even realize that maybe we are worshiping a God who has been made in our soul and in our mind, who is based on traditions, who is based on the God, who is based on our feelings or assumptions. That has nothing to do with the Word of God. And that can be a problem. And the society is operating based on that. And they do not believe in God based on the Word of God. And that can be a problem. This becomes important idea because how we build your life will be judged at the end of our lives. How we have built our life will be judged at the end of our life. So we have to stand before the Lord as we end our life on this earth and give account of our life. And that account will be based on, and there will be a lot of surprises during that account that you may think, oh, I went to church all my life and I believed in a God, but you believed in a God who was formulated in your heart and in your mind based on traditions or feelings or assumption and not according to the Word of God. So let's read John 12, 48 and 49. It says, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and that does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. So what it is saying is this. The judgment will be based on what God has spoken, his spoken words. He says the judgment will be based on, according to John 12, 48 and 49, you will be judged based on the words that I have spoken, the commandments that I have given, and the truths that have been revealed to you now based on the word of God. And if you have shaped your life based on what God has spoken, you're going to be okay. But you will be judged if you have not built your life based on that. And on that judgment day, there are no new truths will be revealed. So it is not going to be like, you know, you stand on the day of judgment before the Lord, and then the truths are revealed to you. Oh God, you cannot say, as if, just imagine yourself standing in front of judge and you have some violations, like a traffic violation, and you're just kind of making an argument to the judge and saying, oh judge, I did not know that the right turn on red was not allowed at this intersection. You know, that's not the case, because God is saying that the truths have been revealed to you in this world. Because God has spoken, and no new truths will be revealed to you on the day of judgment. It is purely a day of judgment, and God is going to judge us based on how we have built our life on the face of this earth. So it's a very simple, have we built your life based on what God has spoken? And the words, spoken words, are in the Word of God. And all those things are written there. And it is very serious, because we cannot escape that judgment. You know, friends, there is a reality. Many, whether Christians or not Christians, we are depending and operating based on the false hopes and false concepts. And some of these false hopes that we keep thinking in our lives are these, and let me give you two or three examples. And we keep thinking in our mind, God will take into account all the good work that I have done. And then he will take into account all the bad work I have done. And if the good works is overweighs the bad works, I'll be fine. On the day of judgment, that is not how it's going to work. And then sometimes we think that because I have been saved by Jesus, we will not be standing before the judgment seat. Because I have accepted Jesus, so I don't have to worry about that. I can live my life anyhow because I have accepted God in my life, and that is good for me. And I can just live anyhow I want. I can make, you know, I don't have to live according to God's word, but just let it be, and I'm exempt from the judgment. That is not the case. It is a false hope. Some believe everything will just pan out correctly for me because God loves me. Doesn't matter how I live my life. And those are false hopes. Those are false hopes. Friends, none of these concepts are real. On that judgment day, many Christians will be surprised many churchgoers will be surprised than non-churchgoers on the judgment day. We may think that, man, I was right. But the reality is we were living a cultural Christianity. We were living the cultural faith. We were living a faith based on, or we were building our life based on assumptions or our feelings or our cultural understanding and not on the Word of God, not based on what God, Jesus have spoken, the God has spoken in the Word of God. And the judgment is going to be eternal on that day. So it's very serious what we are talking about. We need to think about our life very seriously. So the last thing is this. That is the reality. The judgment is the reality. So what do we do? And I will conclude our sermon with this today. What do we do? Is there no hope for us? Are we doomed? How can we measure up to God's word in our life? Man, I'm just a human. God has spoken so many things in his word. How do I even keep up with that? It is so impossible for me to do. God has probably given us, all of us, impossible tasks to accomplish because I cannot keep straight what bill I have to pay, let alone I have to memorize all God has spoken and align my life according to all those books that has been written. I don't even remember, you know, most of it. And how do I even align that? Because it is just impossible. Might as well give up, not even try, because I will never measure up to God's word and what God has asked us to do. And that is what we think, and many of us are probably thinking that way right now. But here is the good news about that. You know, we don't have to face judgment in fear. We don't have to be fearful of the judgment. It is possible to face the judgment with confidence. It is possible. You know, God has not given us the task to live in this world and, you know, build our life on his word, and it is not impossible things to do. In fact, it is very simple because God's grace is available to all of us, and he has made things very easy for us to follow him and give our life to God. So we don't have to fear the day of judgment and face the day of judgment with fear. Here is the verse in 1 John chapter 4 and 17. It says, "And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world." And that is the key. You know, it says, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect in us. And as long as that love grows perfect in us, we do not have to fear. And so you may say, the love of God, how does it grow perfect in us? It is being perfected in our life. And when we use these biblical words, God's love, and so I want you to think about God's love, which is being perfected in our life. And when we use these words, being perfected in our life, is it is a present continuous tense. All English teacher, have mercy upon me. Present continuous tense. It's being happening. The love of God is being perfected in our life. Now, how does it get perfected in our life? Perfected in the sense we are perfect? That does not mean that. God doesn't take our humanity away. God has created you and me as humans. And our humanity remains intact. That means we will make lots of mistakes and lots of those things, but God's love is being perfected in us. What that is let me, you know, just understand, just keep this word in your mind. God's love needs to be perfected in our soul. Because the reason for that is because when we face the day of judgment, we need to have that heart that God's love is being perfected in our life as we face that judgment day. So how does this look like in practice? And I want to kind of explain that. So we have a heart, human heart, and God has given us the will. We can make decisions in our life. God has not made us the robots, but He has given us the ability to choose, say yes or no. That is, God has given us that. And therefore, we can have our heart which can be rebellious to God. And we can keep denying and make a decision in our life to reject God and reject the love of God and reject everything God tells us as a human being, or we can have a surrendered life, surrendered heart to God. And when we are at the place of being surrendered to God, the love of God is being perfected in our life. What that means is this. Let me explain a little further on that is this. Yeah, God will speak to each and every person. When we have a relationship with God, God prompts us in our heart. God speaks into your life. And that's why we say that, and that's why it is important to have ongoing relationship with God. When we have that relationship with God, there is a communication between us and God. So we place our needs before God. We place our struggle before God. And God responds to us in our heart, and He directs our path. He not only speaks to our heart, He speaks through the Word of God, and He will prompt you very specifically, because God knows each person's journey. God knows each person's weaknesses, and God is full of grace. So His idea is not to fail you, but to give you a successful life. You know, let me take you to the beginning of the sermon. He wants you to be successful. So He doesn't want you to fail on the day of judgment. And so His desire is to be successful. So as He speaks to us, He prompts us and He tells us, Manoj, do these kinds of things. I want you to do this. I do not want you to do this. And He prompts us, and the surrendered heart follows God's prompting in our life. But the rebellious heart ignores God's prompting in our life. So the life is simple. Have a relationship with God and listen to God and follow what God prompts us in our heart. Because He does through the Word of God. And when we have a relationship, when we pray, He prompts us. And when we follow His prompting in our heart, that is His commandment in our life, we are obedient to Him. And when we are obedient to Him, the love is perfected in our heart. And if we are in that state of love being perfected in our heart, we face the judgment day with confidence because we are obedient to God. We can memorize all the verses, but it is not just technical thing. Oh, this verse, did I do accordingly? You know, God will prompt you. He understands your life. He doesn't want to complicate your life. He wants to simplify your life. So He says, have relationship with me and follow my direction in your life. As long as you do that, you are in obedience with God. And that is the heart He's going to look at on the day of judgment. And so what kind of heart do you want to have? You know, let me give you a really quick example, real life example about rebellious heart and a surrendered heart. And here is the thing. You know, many times people say, and this is just an example, many times in the world generally people say, especially if they are in a relationship, man and a woman or a girl and a boy, they may say, we love each other and we are going to get married, so it's okay for us to live together before the marriage. And they say that it is okay for us to do that, and anyway, we are going to get married and we go to church, so it's perfectly fine. But the Word of God says any sex outside the marriage is adultery and a sin. But many want to justify the idea that it is okay for us to do that as long as we go to church. So here is the Word of God. And this is a matter of surrendering our heart and listening to God. Here is the Word of God in Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral people. That is the Word of God. And so when we have a relationship with God, and if you are trying to do something wrong, God is going to prompt you. And God is going to say, don't do this, don't do this. And our heart becomes rebellious and say, forget about you, God. I know you don't want me to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. That is a rebellious heart. But the surrender heart is you follow God's prompting in your heart and do it according to his command. That is a surrendered heart, and that is going to count on the day of judgment. You know, the other example is I met a really world-famous personality. I ran into him one time. His name is Ian Bishop. I know many of you don't follow the game of cricket, but it is big, many, many countries, and he's a world-famous fast bowler for the West Indies national team. He used to be, and now he's a broadcaster, and everywhere you go, people will know Ian Bishop, really, really great personality. Now he's a broadcaster on the television for the games and stuff like that. And so I ran into him, And early morning, one morning at he was playing the game, he had the time, and he came with his Bible and stood in front of young people and spoke about his life. And he said this, you know, I'm famous. Everybody knows me. My teammates are famous. They go around the world and everybody knows. And there are lots of opportunities to get together with girls, and a lot of my team members do that. But I surrendered my life to God. And God has prompted me very clearly, stay away from that lifestyle. And I have surrendered my life. And I do that, and God will honor me for that. I know that for sure. And this is just one example. And he says, and that is a surrendered life. That is a surrendered heart. And on the day of judgment, God is going to look at that surrendered heart on that eternity. And so that is what the love of God is being perfected in our heart is all about. It can be understood really complicated. It can look like complicated, but it is very simple. So the question for us is this: eternity exists? Eternal life exists? Eternal God exists? We may not be able to comprehend in our mind, but God has placed eternity in our heart. So my prayer for as we move forward in this series is this: don't try to listen through our mind, but open our heart and let God do the work in your heart and respond to God with your heart, because God has placed eternity in the idea of God in your heart. And if God stirs you in your heart and he will do that, respond to God as God leads you and guides you as we think about eternal life of yours. Don't think about others. Think about your life. It's valuable. And God has placed you and given you life for a reason, And he wants you to be successful. And he is about eternal success for you and for me and for everybody in this world. And that is his desire for you. He wants it. He wants to make it possible for you. He is not making hurdles, but he wants to make a way for you to have a great eternal life. So that is the word of God for us today. And let's bow our heads today, give thanks to God. Father in heaven, thank you, Father, for giving us grace today, oh God, to really even think about these things. It can be very complicated. Sometimes these concepts, these ideas may cause us to lose our focus, oh Father, that it is so much to kind of process in our heart, in our mind. Our prayer, oh Father, is that you will place us to the place where we are able to process these ideas, oh God, in our heart. Understand the eternity, how we are building our life. Are we depending upon the word of God? Are we responding your prompting in our heart as you lead us and guide us, oh Father God, in our life? Help us, oh God, because your desire for our life is this, that you want to receive us in heaven, oh Father God. And that is the success that you have for us. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
If you would join us and stand as we sing Living Hope. We'll start with verse 2.
Thank you.
in grace and peace and the knowledge that Jesus Christ is our living hope. You are dismissed.